Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, guys, back to another episode of this week's podcast, Get the Belt. I'm your host, Miles, and I'm joined today by a special guest, Jay McGregor. Welcome, Jay.
What's good, Miles?
Yeah, not much. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Been a long time coming. Let's get straight. Not me recording with the headphones on.
Right.
No, that's not cute. It messes up my curls, sis. Do you know what is... They're trying us outside. The devil is on shift. But
honestly,
you know what? We're going to power through. So... before we get into who you are, what you do, if you guys don't already know, we've got a word of the week every single week on this show. What is your word of the week this week?
Build your own door.
Oh, come on. Come on, B&Q. Come on, expand on that for us.
So my word of the week is build your own door because you simply... have to this day and age in the industry. There's a lot of people that will close doors behind them. There's a lot of the doors that will be locked and you'll feel like you're banging it down. So you just have to try and build your own. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But once you do and you open that key yourself, it's a different kind of feeling because then all those other doors that were locked before that you were banging down seem to start opening and cracking a little bit before you just bust them wide open.
Yeah, come on, bust them wide open, Jay. Yeah. Have you got any experience with that yourself? I feel like you do. I've seen a little things circulating on social media, a sports day with
100%,
Jay. 100%. Okay.
Like, I want to create my own content. I want to create shows that live digitally and eventually go down that TV route.
Yeah.
So right now I have to build my own shows. I have to build my own doors. And by doing that, I'm getting my own teams together. I'm getting loads of my freelance friends to help me. And I'm creating the content that I want to see until the point where someone says, oh, do you know what? That Jay's really sick.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? That content was really good. Let me get her to do more stuff. Before, there was a day and age where you'd go to these companies and these production people and you would kind of pitch them their idea. They would help you make a pilot and then see how it goes. Now you have to be doing amazingly, make your own pilots, make your own content so they can see that it works. And then they say, oh, actually, let's give you some help and some funding behind it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more hard work that you have to do. But if you really want it and if you think it's a great content, then you have to go with it.
Yeah. Build your own door. It's so true. Like, the world as we know it is, like, changed, especially since when I was like a teenager, early 20s, like you, that do-it-yourself mentality, I don't think was as present or as achievable as it is now. Like, even on our iPhones, like, we can shoot a 4K video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much at our fingertips. Like, we can put things out there and it reach the world just from our phones. So, like, that do-it-yourself mindset is definitely something that I think many of us are having to do now. And I don't feel like there's, like, we were just talking about a certain company that is meant to, like, help with certain things that I do. And often a lot of these big corporations don't help out people that aren't millionaires, haven't got, you know, 5 million followers on Instagram or TikTok. So the whole build your own door mentality, I think, is actually crucial in this day and age that we're living in, like, not just creating content in
everything
so much,
you do.
Yeah.
Because eventually that the heads will turn. Eventually the followers will come. Eventually these things will start happening. But you need to be confident enough in yourself that you can do it. Even if it isn't to the standard that you want to get to or, like, the dreams and the goals you have to yet, you've got to start somewhere.
Period.
We've got the world. We've got the world.
Well, where am I heading to next? So, Jay, so you do TV, radio, presenting. I think you're on Represents every Tuesday.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You've just recently moved over to Channel 4. We can hear, is it Channel, is Channel 4,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Channel 4 and E4.
And E4, yeah. And you, am I correct in saying you're the voice that is like the next?
Yep, I guide you and tell you what you're going to watch, what's coming up, all of the tea needs to know about, all of the programs.
Lit. How long have you been doing that now?
About a month and a half.
How's it going?
It's going really well. It's been a lot to learn, but it's been great to play around and really just be that friendly voice that people can trust. And people start saying, oh my God, I heard you. And oh my God, it's you. And putting like a face to a name is just amazing.
Did you ever see yourself doing something like that when you first started?
Do you know what? I always saw myself doing voiceovers. I had a great voiceover mentor.
Yeah.
But could I say that I'd end up at Channel 4? Absolutely not.
And is it all scripted or have you got a freestyle?
I write my own scripts.
Come on, you wow, okay.
Yeah, it gets approved by the continuity team and the lawyers, got to check for your legal.
No way.
And then I record it and it goes out to air.
No way. So do you record that from home? Do you go there and do it?
I go there, I do it at HQ and I edit it there as well. And then it goes out and it matches up with all of the graphics and all the things that you see.
Oh yeah, no way. Oh, that is so lit, man. And so before you had like come into the TV scene and as the voiceover for Channel 4, etc., you were previously in people's ears with radio and still are. And that was at Represent, right?
Yes.
How long have you been there now?
I've been at Represent for about maybe coming up to 8 years, but that's been on and off.
Yeah, okay.
I was doing uni at the time, college at the time. I did a year abroad at the time. So it's been a relationship where I've grown from being like a broadcast assistant to being a producer, to being a presenter, and being able to really like hone in on my show, helping push talent, and just getting to entertain people.
At what age were you like, okay, this is what I want to do?
Probably I'd say at 17, 18.
Okay.
I'd just done all of my A-levels, got some really good results.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on results day that I was like, do you know what, Mum? I don't want to go to vocational and dance. I actually want to go and do media. And that was really wild for me because dance is my whole life. Since the age of two, I've been in dance classes.
Yeah.
I went to Brit school, like I properly trained.
Yeah.
I've done things like X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, the Brit Awards. And I kind of had those really big experiences really early on. So it was only when I was doing A-levels and I got to pick another subject and I picked media that I was like, wow, there's something else that I'm good at. There's something else that's besides dance. And I realised that it wasn't something that I wanted to necessarily do as my career. It had just been a hobby that had taken me through, like, 12 to 15 years of my life that I wasn't ready to let go of yet.
Had you already auditioned for any vocationals at this point?
Yeah, at the time I had auditions booked.
Okay, swear down. And you just didn't go?
Or yeah, just didn't go.
Didn't go. And then where did you, what was the next step?
So I was then going to go to Manchester. And I was going to go to Manchester Met to study media.
Okay.
And then again, after I got accepted, I was like, Manchester's not really where my heart is. I wanted to stay in London because I wanted to keep doing my Represent show. And I was getting...
Oh, so you already had the Represent show?
Yes.
Hold on. Okay, so you're in dance class at the Brit School. How do you go from jazz and ballet to working at a radio station?
I literally just kept emailing them until they couldn't ignore me anymore.
Period.
Honestly, and that's how I got a foot in the door about being a broadcast assistant and starting from the bottom and working my way up.
No way.
Yeah, and then I ended up going to University of the Arts London, LCC, in Elephant, and I continued to study media until I graduated with a first.
Come on. That also just, pedaling back to what you were saying about you kept on sending them emails, there's some people that I need to email and have emailed, but I don't want to come across as, like, too much, but fuck that, no.
I have a 3-time email rule, and I will email 3 times... and I will give it kind of 3 weeks in between. There's some people that I've heard that say that if they get one email from you, they'll ignore it. And if they get a third email, that's when they know you're serious. And some people are just really, really busy. But I have actually heard that.
That is so interesting. Because I get some people that are busy, but like, you can at least be like, you can respond. I feel like...
I do feel like that, but then I feel like some people just put it in a folder, like, we'll get back to you later.
Lost.
And it just gets lost.
Yeah, no, period. I'm emailing. As soon as we finish recording, there's some emails that I'm going to send in. So you graduated with your first. What was the next part of your journey after leaving uni?
So the next part of my journey was actually just really, like, establishing myself as a presenter.
Yeah.
So I started putting on my own live events at Box Park in Croydon.
Yeah.
I got some funding from the Arts Council.
And did you source that with yourself?
I sourced that through Small Green Shoots.
Okay.
They were a really great company that helped push young people into the music industry. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help put on talent and help put them onto audiences and give them connections that they may not have had before. So we did two live music nights.
Yeah.
We had a live band. So artists that had never performed with a band before got to perform. We played games like Finish the Lyric. We played games like Guess the Artist. We had a party. We had loads of industry people in the rooms. So they could look at new talent. We had giveaways. And that was kind of my first, like, look, I am here. And this is what I'm about. It was called Jay Presents. And it's really good. And we might be looking to bring it back this year. So really excited.
Come on. Anywhere I can help, let me know. Let me know.
100%.
So, not me forgetting to ask you how your week was. Okay. So, you're currently in at Represents Radio. Do you plan on being there for much longer? You've been with them, you were saying, now for like nearly 8 years on and off. Are you planning on staying for longer? Is there a new venture you want to go with them? Do you plan on being a presenter there? I heard you said you produce.
So my journey with Represent has been great. I've produced, I've presented, I've done just about everything.
Yeah.
And I've nearly been everywhere on the schedule. Having my own radio show and have my own platform is like my baby. I love seeing artists at the beginning of their journey. And then I think through Represent's playlist, you see them go on to like the One Extras, Capital Extras, the Kiss Freshers. It's like a big circle. And then they get to Main Kiss, Main Capital. And then their careers blow and they get signed. So I see artists at the start of that journey. And when I was working at places like Kiss, when I was working at the BBC, you'd see that circle and you'd know that you was at the start of that journey. And I think for me, I just want to keep perfecting my craft in that way.
Yeah.
National radio is definitely on the cards. It's something that I'm dying to do
because
I'm just such a radio nerd.
Yeah.
Like, that was me and the kid growing up. Like, me, Ricky Melvin and Charlie were best mates. They have no clue who I am. The feeling that they gave me is a feeling that I want to give to the next generation, which is a tricky one because they don't actually listen to radio.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So it's trying to find a new way to connect with those audiences and still bring the love of radio back, if we can, to those younger audiences. So hopefully some opportunities are coming my way. I've had some good meetings so far. So yeah, keep your fingers crossed for me.
Lit. So you were saying that you recognise that not a lot of people listen to radio, especially that the younger generation. Mm-hmm. You actually have quite a big fan base. You've been noticed by many, many people. How are you bridging that gap and bringing that community to where you're at now? Other than
definitely
that,
through social media. Yep. My sister's 12 and she is like a TikTok genius. She tells me who I need to be getting on my show, who her people are listening to, who her people like to watch. So through her, I'm able to connect the gap and really find out, you know, these next social stars that are coming through.
Yeah.
The music artists, whether they're creators, whether they're actors, like all the people that they like to engage with and then having them share their stories on radio. Now, they may not necessarily listen to the live show, but they will watch the social media content after.
Yeah.
And that's when I see like it going viral on TikTok and getting a lot of pickup through that. So even if they're not listening directly, it's still like pushing it back to the radio station, brand awareness, knowing me as a presenter and being known for, oh yeah, she brings through my favourite people.
Yeah. What is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned on your journey?
Oh, how much time we got? Just knowing to listen to myself, like my inner self, because there's a lot of people in this industry that will make you think you can't do it all. And everyone says, jack of all trades, master of none. But I feel like when you're passionate about multiple things, let that be your superpower. Because in this day and age, being able to record a podcast, present a podcast, edit a podcast, visual, audio, and being able to put it on social media, being able to do all these kind of things, they're all different skill sets. Being able to host events, being able to run events, being able to produce content, it all goes hand in hand. And it's just making sure that you're good across the board and you're great at the things that you love and that you thrive in, instead of being told, nope, you can only do one thing and you stay in this very linear box. But it's really not true. And I think it's because the generation before us are very traditional in their mindset because they were not open to those opportunities and those responsibilities before. So now they see it and it scares them a little bit. So I feel like even subconsciously, they're a bit like, oh, you know, would love you to keep your focus here. Whereas a lot of brands now, the ones that are progressing, the ones that are thriving, are brands that give you multiple opportunities, brands that give you different areas to release your creative outlets from, because it will make you better at doing the job that you're employed to do, for example, because you have outlets, because you're getting inspiration from different fields, different people, different opportunities.
Yeah, I've been interviewing, having meetings with like new agents, and it's I think I've only met two so far that will do more than just submit you for an audition for a show or a musical or play or whatnot. And I do more than just act and sing. Like I'm a podcaster, I'm a presenter. And there's literally only been two that have been like, oh, we like the fact that you do more than this. Like you, this could bring in this and you could do this. I'm like, that's not a normal thing. And I feel like, yeah, we are getting into the space where doing more than just one thing is being seen as, like you said, a superpower. And I've always been a bit scared of, oh, that whole jack of all trades, master of none thing, because I'm like, I do so much. And so sometimes I don't even want to say I do this and I do that, because it can look like, well, but what do you actually do? And it's like, nah, like I actually do.
Not at all, man. You can't be living like this.
Yeah.
You can be known for doing something, having a niche, having something that you're massively passionate about. But all these other skills, they are your superpower. It doesn't get lost. A lot of people say you need to niche down, and your niche could be four different things. As long as you're strong enough in those areas and you know yourself and people know you as a person, it doesn't matter if I want to present one day and I want to make pottery the next. If they know that I'm passionate about pottery, then whether that's that audience, that fan base, those people that support me, hopefully they'd want to support that journey too, right? It's because it's still me. It's still me. Yeah. I'm the person and the skill. Both of us are one.
Yeah. Going back to Jay's sports day, you were saying that, you know, build your own door. Is this something that you did by yourself, or is that
completely by myself? So I got together freelancers, a freelance producer, freelance videographers, sound people, production manager, runners, and the talent were all people that I knew that also believed in me. They're people that I've interviewed on my radio show. They're music artists and creatives that are doing amazingly right now, and they believed in me enough to be able to do that for free as well, which is not something that
It doesn't happen often.
And sometimes you do have to pull in favors, and I raised up my own funds to pay all the staff that were involved for time, and it was a lot. It was really, really hard, but the results so far have been good. We're at over 20,000 across all five videos.
Come on.
And it's something that I'm like, look, I'm here, this is the content that I want to make, I see the stuff that you're doing, my stuff is slightly different, let's move, like let's work, I'm ready. Like, you can see what I can do by myself. Imagine what I could do with a team behind me.
Yeah, I hear you. What made you want to do that specific show, like with Sports Day and stuff like that? Where did that inspiration come from?
I just think back to school and primary school specifically.
That's sports what it took me straight away.
Sports is something that you've
I can
fun.
See you with an egg, bitch. I can see you with an egg.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So I was thinking, how can I show off these artists who are known for being sick musicians and talent in a different way? How can I let them be really competitive and not something that's going to be like totally exuberant of their energy? But will also get them laughing and literally cracking up. So I thought, going back to a sports day would be fun. I had access to a school and it was something that I could keep going as rounds. It's something that never has to end. This round was music artists, my next round might be actors, my next round might be TikTok stars, my next round might be lover boys or bad bitches. Like,
come on. Oh, I'd watch that one, that'd be lit.
It's something that I wanted to, that I could keep going for forever if it needed to.
What was the funniest part of that whole process?
Do you know what? Just the guys themselves, they're absolutely hilarious. They never met each other before, but you'd think they were bros. Like, the way they finished those sports and the competitiveness, it was so funny. Like, they were flying, doing, like, salmons over, like, ropes. Like, some of the games they even made up. Like, it was absolutely mad.
What was the hardest thing about putting that all together?
Just being one man up. Literally, like, from planning stage to putting it together, and I have to thank Sam, my director, for helping me a lot with that stuff. But just knowing the fact that it's just me, like, I'm the decision maker here. I'm the one. And I'm not an expert in all of these films.
Yeah.
In all of these fields, should I say. When people are asking me questions, I'm like, I'm actually not sure.
Don't really know,
I can find out, though, and just winging it the whole time and hoping for the best.
What would you say has been the proudest moment so far of your career? That is with, like, the voiceover stuff you're doing now on TV, working with the BBC, KISS, Represent. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done a lot. What would you say the standout, like, two taps on my chest moment is for you?
Ooh. Okay. I have two moments.
Okay, that's
first one is the producer and me. We were looking for some content at Kiss, and Little Mix were celebrating their 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
So I had the idea of getting a 10-year-old to interview Little Mix, and I had a sister at the time who was 10.
Oh, perfect.
So
yeah,
she got to interview Little Mix. Like,
is this the one who is 12 now that is telling you about... She's helping you out, sis.
This is what I'm saying. And to be able to like give that moment to my sister and... She's obsessive Little Mix. So at the time, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
That did so well on across socials. Other brands started copying it, but it wasn't as good. And it was just the fact that she bossed it. I gave her all the training I could give.
And
when the camera started rolling and the audio was going, she just nailed it. And that for me was like, this is an idea that I've had from start to finish. I've developed it. My team have believed in me. And my sister has not let me down at the end.
Yeah. And what was the second moment?
Probably hearing myself for the first time on Channel 4.
Okay.
Channel 4 is a big boy. It's a craft when it comes to doing your scripts, especially when they've got hard-hitting shows that are, like, heart-wrenching. It's real life. And to be able to hear myself and know that I'm a part of that and I'm helping with that direction and bringing these programs to life is insane. Like, to know that millions of people are hearing my voice, it's just crazy. And it means even more to me because I was full-time at Kiss before and my presenting was going really, really well. I was working with YouTube Studios a lot. I'd worked with Apple Music, all whilst doing full-time producing a breakfast show while being an assistant producer, which is really hard. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of feet on your neck and you're working so you can't work anymore. You don't have any more ideas left because you're constantly thinking of new ones and you never want to let anyone down and you want your presenters to do amazingly. But my career was slowly bubbling and I was getting these jobs that were paying me more than I was getting paid in a month for covering 3 months and actually being recognised as the presenter and being able to get myself a makeup artist, a stylist, and have people that are caring about me and the content that I'm bringing. So I had to kind of say, do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to run with this and have a go at being self-employed and being able to have monopoly over my own time. I was up at 4 a.m. every day, getting in by like 4 p.m. and then literally getting ready, going to host an event, going to do this, going to do that. And it was a lot of pressure because it was like, oh, you know, you can't do everything. That's what I was being told in one ear by the seniors. So it was like, no, I can. If you're not going to give me the opportunity here to produce and present and have a show, then I'm going to need to go and put my full force into presenting because I know that right now is the time that I'm meant to be doing that.
Yeah.
So I left in December and I haven't looked back since.
Come on. Shout out to you, man. That's so dope.
Thank you.
So you've said you've sat down with many different people, one of them being Little Mix, well, not you, but your little sister did. Who is the best person that you've sat down and had a, you know, catch up with?
Oh, so many people. That's really hard because I get to speak to so many cool people every
week.
You
could do top two again. It doesn't have to be one.
Okay, my first person is Candice Brathwaite.
Oh, yeah.
She is just an incredible energy.
Yeah.
She is what I aspire to be like when I'm older, let alone her closet alone. She's amazing. And she's really true to herself and she's really open and honest about her journey, her family life. And that brutal honesty, I think, just makes her a better person because she's able to really look back and reflect and take her followers on that journey.
Yeah.
She's dope.
Yeah, she's sick.
Second person, would probably be Akala. Because when I mean, that man is incredible, like the way he fights for us as a people, the way that he articulates himself in rooms where, you know, we're not supposed to be in, or rooms where they don't really want us there, but he forces people to listen in the way that he talks, in the way that he commands a room, in the way that he's passionate about issues in society that affect us the most, as well as being a really sick music artist.
Yeah. I've not actually heard too much of his music.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard too much of his music, but I've like read his book, and seen him on many different shows talking. But yeah, he's a very prolific man. I've had the pleasure of meeting him once, and yeah, his energy is super cool and relaxed.
Yeah,
it's so relaxed. It makes it's so you want to be like, but I expect it to be. Obviously, because I've listened more to read more of his like work on talk about race and issues, and because I'm not so familiar with the music and that chill. So when I did meet him and I got that energy, I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. But then he's missed out on my sister, so what the fuck was I expecting? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? He's ready to go toe to toe in one hand.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got his dynamite on the other hand.
Okay, so to follow up from that question, who is the worst person you've had to sit down with where you're like, oh.
I don't know if there's a worse person, and that's not even like me not even wanting to spill the tea. I think it's just music artists, I'd say specifically rappers who are up and coming, and a lot of the time I'm their first interview, so I'm not expecting them to go through this media training to know exactly what to say. But sometimes the impression that kind of they don't care and that they're kind of just here in it, it makes for a really hard interview. Because like, I'm trying to hail you up, I'm trying to big you up, I'm trying to pretend that, you know, no one knows who you are, and there's someone in the car that might be listening that might be your next string. So I really want them to understand your personality. So when they want to give you like close questions and they don't really want to talk to you and it's a bit uncomfortable and you're really trying the best you can to navigate it, it's a really hard one.
Yeah, I've done an interview once with someone on this show actually, and
enough said.
Do you know what? Fuck it. No. Do you know what? It was the winner. His name's Arturo. Dope guy. He won Legendary, HBO Max's Legendary. Do you ever see that show? It's like the houses. You know, houses, the Vogue houses.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They come out and they battle, they dance, and they whatever, they go through rounds. But yeah, he won, and he was like the mother of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'd watched like, a few episodes, and I just thought that it was going to be. And when he came on, fair enough, there was a time difference, but it was just like, yeah, you know, one word answers here. And it was like blood out of a stone. Yeah. But then I also get that when what I've seen of you is you on stage performing and you're not always going to be.
Yeah, it's a shush of fierce kind of.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, fair. But I was just like, whoa, I got to work, honey. I felt like that one that was, I felt like the presenter with, what's his name? Hugh Grant. I felt like her. I really had to be like. What would you do in that situation?
You've just got to try and spin it as much as you can spin. And
there
must be something that might click and be like, oh, like I know you like this.
Yeah.
And that happens by doing much more research, like looking at the interviews that they've done.
That's what I said last time, research, yeah.
But even that, like I've been in interviews and felt really uncomfortable, having like these old men flirt. And I'm like, you got my dad's age. This is really icky.
How do you handle that? You just
I just kept swerving it back, swerving it back. It's a lot with these like kind of old school American back in the day music artists as well. And I'm like, no.
Do you remember any of the like lines that you said which have had you been like, okay, right, now I really need to do swerve?
It's just like, oh, you look so beautiful. Yeah, ma, yeah. Oh, like, and I'm like, I'm talking about your music. And
is this
telling
been
me
on live or like pre-recorded stuff?
Pre-recorded. So all that stuff got edited out. So I'm like, you're flirting with me in a hotel lobby. And I'm like, this is really icky. Like, I just want to talk about your song.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm trying to like say that you're sick. And obviously I'm hyping you up. And then maybe you're taking that hype for something else.
Yeah, I'm at work, honey. I'm at work.
Yeah.
Right. So before we head into Melanin Magnificence, I want you to give us a demo of the voiceover stuff you do for when you're introducing what someone's going to watch, but I want you to do it for Get the Belt podcast.
Oh, okay.
How would it go? Have a little moment to think.
Coming up in an hour, Gordon Ramsay spilling the block and returning to three restaurants that absolutely need help. But for now, it's Get the Belt Pod with Miles Hart. And Miles is spilling all the tea and all the things you need to know, whether it's Melanin Magnificence, whether it's words of the day, whether it's anything that is going to get your heart racing, it's going to be his guests. Coming now on Channel 4.
Period, baby! Lit, so when we are on Channel 4, we're using that take. Right, so let's get into Melanin Magnificence.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Who is your melanin magnificence this week?
Okay, so my melanin magnificence is a guy called Ben Winter, and he is the founder of Unstoppable Group, and he's senior management at AIM, which helps a lot of independent music artists. And he is my person this week because he has just helped DJ Ace take UK R&B artists to South by Southwest Festival in America to have their own stage, and that was everything R&B, which DJ Ace does. But he was instrumental in getting Ace kind of those connections to be able to take music artists out there. And I'm talking about James Vickery, Manelia, Kadeem Tyrell, like UK R&B sound.
Yeah.
And you think, like, why weren't they there already?
Yeah.
Why aren't they already in those rooms? But sometimes it just takes a person that's connecting the dots and that can give you access and really champion for you to go across. And I think Ben really deserves his flowers because he does so much for up-and-coming music artists, independent music artists, and platforms that really champion UK talent.
Dope. Shout out to you, Ben. My melanin magnificence this week goes out to a lady by the name of Sandra Igwe. Now, she is the founder of Motherhood Group, which is a leading support group for Black British mothers. And she is also the co-chair of Birthrights Inquiry and is also the author of My Black Motherhood, Mental Health, Stigma, Racism and the System. Now, she's basically created a new landmark in which is called the Health Conference for Black Mothers. And it took place yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was the first ever kind of its event in the United Kingdom. And it is basically a conversation that was had to discuss the system, the disparities in the system, and reiterating the importance of Black women receiving healthcare that is respectfully, culturally competent, safe, and of the highest quality. Like I said, this happened yesterday on Monday, the 20th of March. And she's just out here making noise in the healthcare system, and hopefully that will invoke change because, you know, we've been hearing for many, many, many years the treatment that Black women receive in the healthcare system, especially when it comes to birthing and pregnancy and stuff like that. And the mortality rate is 3.7 times more likely for a Black woman to die during childbirth, which is mad. And I think that's actually gone up since like a year ago when I was discussing something similar on the podcast. So the fact that this is the first time that this is happening is mad, but big props to Sandra for curating this event and putting it on, and hopefully this invokes more change. So yeah, big up to you, Sandra Igwe, for doing the things.
That's amazing. We definitely need more people like her doing those things. And as I said, this is a clear example of build your own door, because she couldn't find one to open, so she's built her own conference. And then again, the powers that be will see that.
Yeah.
And that's when change happens.
Period. So yeah, that was my melanin magnificence this week. Let's quickly move on to Miles Measures. I want to keep it short and sweet. Because I don't know where the time has gone. But Jussie Smollett, you know what happened? You know Jussie Smollett, the Empire guy. So obviously he had his whole scandal. Like, I think it was before the pandemic, right?
Yeah,
it was before. So this is years ago. However, you know, he had said that these two Black guys, two Nigerian guys, like tied him up and called him X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. They've actually appeared for the first time on a documentary where they're talking all about it, and they say, no, he's just an actor. Like, I can't believe this guy was crying on TV. He paid us to do this and that and this. What are your takes on it? Do you think that he did set it all up?
Based on that, I do.
Yeah, same.
And it's really annoying because it's like, you want to root for someone because you want to hope that they're telling the truth, especially on such a world stage. And something, an issue about race is something that everyone is really passionate about, especially as a community, because we want to stand up for the injustices and we want to be able to have full faith and belief in our Black brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So when you do things like that, it's really effed. And secondly, like, you're making it harder for all of us. You're taking it back a couple of steps, because again, it's like, now the next Black person, are they likely to be believed? Are they likely to need so much evidence to be able to proclaim their innocence and the truth before we even believe them. Because if it makes me feel like everyone is going to be guilty until proven innocent, instead of innocent until proven guilty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was really effed, especially as a person from the LGBTQDL community. Like, not only are you pulling us back and taking us a step back for the, you know, for the blacks, you'd also do it for the LGBTQ community as well, which is, it's just like a double jab to like two different communities that are already struggling. And to a certain extent, I think are low key, high key at war with each other. Like, it's hard enough as it is being black, but when you're queer and black, for the most part, these, like, especially like in the Christian community, in the black community, it's just, It's just not accepted. It's just not accepted. So, yeah, I feel like that was effed up. Are you gonna watch? Are you gonna watch it? I think it's out already.
Yeah, I think I will watch it. And what you said about being effed up, I think it's really hard because, especially when you're saying there's kind of war between the black community and the LGBTQ plus DL community, it's like the black people that are going to war for the LGBTQ plus DL community, and now are they going to fret to go to war for you?
Exactly.
And it's like, they shouldn't have to fret.
Yeah.
Because really, we're trying to overcome our own internal issues.
Yeah.
And now outward facing, we're even more separated than we were before.
Yeah. Messed up. I don't even think he's that talented. I think he's a good actor, but
I just don't know what he was trying to achieve. Was it clout? Was it...
Apparently he was looking... They said that he was trying to get a sympathy vote from everyone for, like, surviving this attack, just to build status to be talked about.
You just didn't have to go so extreme.
No,
like
there's, really, like,
everyone knows about scandals. There's been scandals for how many years? This was crossed the line.
Yeah, no, it was fucked up. And you were already, like, he was already being spoken about, like, and being invited to the events. Like, he had a platform already from being, like, on that show.
Yeah, Empire
itself
was huge.
So I don't see why he... I don't know. I actually fell off. If I'm being honest, I did fall off of Empire. It did get, like, maybe season 2, 3, it got a bit too extra for me.
Yeah, because I think that's when, like was it Greenland? There's one about
Greenleaf.
Greenleaf came
Greenleaf
out.
Is lit. That's
and
that's
then power
lit.
Came through. So it was also, it had its run.
Oh, yeah. But I fell off. Did his character get killed off?
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, period. I thought maybe he just, like, died and thought, I'm going to be forgotten about, so I need to be in the news or something. I don't know. Anyway, next. So, right. So, did you hear about that Diplo? So Diplo went on a podcast with some, I don't know, some white girl was talking to him about things. And the clip that went viral on TikTok was that he'd received oral sex from a guy, but he says it's not gay. And then so she was like, oh, so you're not gay? He's like, well, I'm not gay, but receiving head from a man isn't gay. I need my camera to be on for this conversation.
Right,
oh,
let me...
You look cute, sis. The light is hitting you good.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
Let me just digest.
So, yeah, baby girl, is getting... What do you think? Is getting head... Is getting head from a man gay if you're a man yourself, Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get why it wouldn't not be, but I think that's coming from an internal confidence issue that he's having with his own sexuality of why he's saying that. Because
I agree.
Getting head and getting head doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's a sexual act.
Yeah.
What does matter is if you're getting pleasure from it and you're enjoying it, it's still a person that it's attached to.
Yeah.
And it's like there is some sort of connection. I mean, people say it's just sex, but it's not.
I definitely think it's some gay shit, and you are not a straight man if you... Okay, you could be a straight man if you've had head from a guy once and, like, that you didn't enjoy. But if it's been, like, once, twice, three times a nigga, then... then you are not straight. Then you are not straight, my guy.
Just call a spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah. I get, like, what you're saying about, you know, head is head. But again, it is attached to a person. If you're doing it, if you've done it, like I said, more than once with a guy or someone of the same sex, then you are not straight. However, I do think, I do think that you could maybe enjoy sexual activities with a person. Like, I know it's far more normalized for girls to be like, we kiss each other, whatever, whatever. And for men, it's like, not at all. They're not, they don't have access to that sexual freedom, I would say, in the same way women do. But I do feel like you can, like, do things sexually with a certain gender and not necessarily be able to fall in love with them? And
I don't know.
Or is that a big... Yeah.
I think that if that's the route you want to go down, then I think you have to be... it should be like whether you're attracted to like androgynous people
mm-hmm.
or non-gender conforming people, and you're also non-gender conforming yourself, because then you can say like, oh, it doesn't matter who I have sex with because I am this, and I'm also attracted to people that are
mm-hmm.
in that same way inclined. So it's like, then there's no difference. But if you're saying, you know, I am a heterosexual man,
but I like getting head from men's,
it's not making sense.
Yeah, it's not. The sense ain't sensing. Yeah, he ain't no straight man. He probably, I think he's just bi.
And that's fine. Be bi. Be proud.
We love it. I love it.
And again, like, I don't really care who you're doing bits with, but once you're going to go and talk about on a public podcast now.
Yeah.
It's different.
Right, so Tyler Perry recently spoke out about getting emotional when he was disciplining his son. Now, discipline and hitting in parenting or in any kind of issues, but specifically in parenting for me, is such a big thing for me. I've had this conversation with my boyfriend a few times. Not that I'm planning on having any kids anytime soon, but just like
we discussed. You know, you have those future chats.
Yeah. And basically Tyler Perry said he overheard his son, who he must be like 8 and below, because he was disagreeing or arguing with the nanny when she was like, brush your teeth, and he was like, no. And Tyler Perry overheard, came in and was just like, this is not how we raised you, we love you, you need to do this X, Y, and Z. And he said he walked away getting emotional because he thought back to when he was a child and all it was is cussing and like getting slapped up. What is your take on like hitting kids? Like, do you believe that there's like an age where it stops, or like you never do it, or like, yeah, a little slap on the wrist, or are you whooping your child? And if you know, you know the whole saying, if he who must not hear must feel, like, what's your take on that?
I don't want to hit my kids at all, and that's just my preference. Even as a child, I wasn't really a naughty kid, so I never really got beat a lot. And the couple times I did,
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you do, girl?
I think I must have like spat or something.
Ah, I'm not you spitting.
I don't even remember, but that's I've been claimed, and I think I got like smacked on my butt by my dad like back in the day, but. It's not something that I would do. I see a lot of these trends, and I'm not a parent, so there's only so much I can say.
Yeah.
But where people are doing gentle parenting, and I do believe that action should have consequences.
Yeah.
So I do believe in, like, if there's something that you love or that they love, then taking that away and being very clear of, this is happening because you're not doing this. So I would try and do consequential parenting, I hope. But also, like, sometimes when kids are bad breed, like, they do need something that's, is strong enough as a hit without being physical so that they can understand on a deeper level. Because there's not like, oh, I'm not going to brush my teeth. But then that is like, if you're doing serious things like vandalism, stealing, there needs to be something as harsh as that without leaving dents and marks on your child.
Your 12, 13-year-old... Okay, let's say your 13-year-old son, daughter, them, comes home from school, they've got into trouble, they call you a cunt. What are you doing?
Okay.
They heard it from their white friends that call their parents cunts all the time, and they come over and say, Mom, you cunt, leave me alone. Are we taking away PlayStation, or
we're taking away everything?
Oh, everything's gone.
We're sitting down and it's like, first of all, we're just going to rewind, because that's not something that we ever say.
Yeah.
Second of all, this is why we don't say it. And third of all, everything is going, as in
everything is gone.
You might have a mattress and a bed sheet. You might not even have a duvet.
Yeah, like, period.
Absolutely everything. There's going to be no luxury, because listen, that's courtesy for getting shipped.
Yeah,
but you know, we ain't got that kind of shipping power right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, bare minimum.
My mum put a bar of imperial leather soap in my mouth for saying bloody hell as I was going up the stairs, and I thought I was bad. She was like, "Say it one more time." So I do. I got to the top of my room. I said, bloody hell.
Ah, you look all my brain.
I heard my mum soap in my mouth, in my teeth. So saying cunt, I could never imagine.
What would you do?
What would I do? Something really, really similar to you. Like, I would, after doing, you know, therapy, looking back at how I was raised and seeing other things and reading books and stuff, All About Love for me changed by bell hooks, changed how I think about parenting and even like the relationship with parents and their children. But I believe any kind of attack on the body is physical abuse. And I feel like some people disagree with me and they say, no, it's not. But ultimately, I just see it as black and white. And, you know, if a little slap, like, I wouldn't do that to one of my friends because they'd be like, why are you slapping me? And I get it, children are younger. But, yeah, I would I pray that I just never lay a hand on any of my children's bodies. So, yeah, everything is gone. I'm turning off the electricity in their room. There's no phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to live like you're in the in the 1920s.
Yeah.
For the next, for the foreseeable
future. By candlelight.
Yeah.
No, I hope to never lay a hand on my children either. I hope to not have to do that as a parent. And I hope that if I got to that part of my life where it felt like I actually needed to strangle them, that I would have enough support around me. Like, you need to, I need to cool down. You need to go and stay with your nan. You need to go and stay with whoever. Yeah. You need to go and roll with your dad for a bit.
Yeah.
And understand why. Because I also feel like there's a lot of things that they don't understand, and it's a lot of their emotions and they're lashing out.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have the words to get in myself and check myself, how can I expect you to check yourself at that young age?
Yeah.
But then I do also believe in, if you're going to bite me, I will bite you back, so you know how it feels. If you're going to hit mum, mum will hit back. Obviously not with full force, but you need to understand what that feels like. Because some kids don't understand. Like, see, like when you see your kid out at a park, or like a cousin, niece, nephew, whatever, and another kid pushes them over and they get back up, and I'm expecting a push back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my, you'll get your one strike. As long as they do it first and you do it back,
yeah,
I will back you.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you're the instigator, I can't back you.
Yeah. I feel like you'd have a good outlook on this. So Mahalia, he hit out recently to music labels, telling them to stop telling artists that their music needs to, quote unquote, do something on TikTok before they do anything with it. She told them that it's a fuckery and it's just not inspiring. Like, what is your take on what she said there?
I do agree with her. I don't think TikTok should be the be-all and end-all, because there's so many TikTok artists, should I say, that have come out who are not good, but they have a good following. So then it also, like, buries the artists that are good, but their following is yet to keep up. And it also limits the artists that are not TikTok focused, but they now have to be. And then you see TikToks like, oh, like, my label are forcing me to do this silly dance, be able to stream my song. Not everyone is going to have a viral sensation. Do you know what I mean? And I think, excuse me, if that's the case, then okay, let's get some other funding and some other ways that we can engage audiences, whether that's experiential events, whether that's some pop-ups. Like, let's take it. Let's start busking. Let's do some things that we can also make content out of and engage in another way. Yes, TikTok is free, but it's not free if it's going to weigh on your soul. That's where you pay the price as an artist. So it's okay, like, let's also find some other ways that we can put some funds into doing some stuff for you.
Yeah, I hear that. I get that TikTok is, like, exploding, and it is, you know, very instrumental in how many people conduct their business. And let's not forget, being an artist, yes, it can just be a hobby, but if you're doing it for your work, it is a business as well.
You need to be across socials.
Yeah, but I get it, because, like, my cousin has been, like, she's an influencer, that's her job. And she's been telling me for, like, years now, get on TikTok. And I'm, like, on it, but I actually really struggle, and I'm not just a presenter, I'm an actor as well. So I'm used to performing, but I really struggle with TikTok, like, really. So I get it. But even when you were just saying then that there's other things you can do, busking, like, that's the producer in you coming out, because I wouldn't have even thought. I just think TikTok, oh, I've got to do this dance.
TikTok is just content. At the end of the day, it's a place where you can go and find content. So I'm in a trial and error stage of TikTok, of trying to build my following, but also trying to find what I enjoy doing and what people would enjoy seeing.
Yeah.
So is that my series stuff, taking shorts from that? Is it a day in the life of me and my sister? Like, what is it? Because a lot of these TikToks don't have to be as polished. They don't have to be a whole entire 25-hour job to be able to create. And sometimes that's when we overthink it, because there's the pressure on it. So if you take the pressure off, play around, do 5 different concepts and see what you enjoy and what people are enjoying watching. But the pressure on that to be a good music artist, that's why everyone can make content these days. Everyone is a UGC creator with their phones, so it makes it even harder to push through. So I'm saying, there's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, cutting through the shit is really hard. People getting jobs and getting clout and getting bookings for things that they, not that they shouldn't be, but actually they have no business being on or doing, because they have numbers.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, part of you needs to play that game and build up your numbers. But when you get there, you'll be in a position where you can say no to those jobs that you don't want to do, that you can accept the jobs that are for you. And that's what a lot of people need to get confidence in doing, because everyone doing everything and accepting every job and it's not quite aligned with their brand or who they are or where they want to go, it just becomes really saturated and becomes fake and it doesn't make sense. And then your followers are like, oh, but last week you told us you were plant free and then this week you've got to deal with Steak and Co. Like, it's not making sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to leave that one. For now, I want to quickly finish off Miles Measures with Lil Nas. So did you see Lil Nas X received a bit of backlash for reposting this gorgeous black girl who resembled him? Like, if you would see them, you'd be like, oh,
yes.
Is that your sister or whatnot? And he was like, oh, the surgery was a success.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like, hit out at him saying, oh, this is transphobic and all of this. Now, I can see how in this hypersensitive world, I'm not surprised that he got backlash for it, but I personally don't think that he should have. I'm not trans. I'm very pro my community, and that involves me being here for the trans community, but I don't think he should have received backlash from it, because he wasn't out here saying that she was ugly. She was cute and she looked like him. But that's my take on it. I think people were getting oversensitive. And there were, like, famous trans people that also came out and said, guys, I think you need to be redirecting this anger towards, you know, this person in government who is actually passing transphobic laws, not this guy. Like, it's fake. It's fake anger. Like, dead it. What were your thoughts when you saw that? If you saw
I did that. See
you
that.
You did see it, yeah.
Obviously, I don't know Lil Nas X personally, but he is a troll within himself, but in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves to joke about things, like you saw when he was pregnant for a time.
Yeah.
Like, you see the kind of things that you do and you know, like, who he stands for as a person. Like, his core fans know that.
Yeah.
The general public, I'm not a huge Lil Nas X fan, but I do know enough of him to know that he's not causing offence.
Yeah.
Whereas there are bigger fish to fry. And I think in these arguments now, I'm not trans and I am an ally. So if my trans friends had an issue with it, then of course I would support it.
Yeah.
But I think also when you've got an oversensitive society, which can be great in some ways because we are now making new rules and regulations of 100%. What is acceptable and what isn't. There are bigger fish to fry that we need to be fighting about than Lil Nas X. Like, the same energy we have for him, we need to have for these other people who are causing real damage to your lives, your safety, and the community itself.
Yeah.
And I think if trans, like, prominent trans people are also feeling that same way, it's kind of for them to kind of G-check the community and then for all of us to take that lead and move with however they want to move.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, like, fake outrage these days, which makes it really, really hard.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in, you know, this snowflake community. And I don't believe in that. Because I think we're coming to a new space where we need to really sort out our norms and our regulations and what is acceptable and what isn't. Because back in the day, a lot of things were very acceptable. Slavery was acceptable.
Period. Yeah.
But we've changed our views on that. So, yeah, if I want to change my views on, you know, the trans community, or if I want to change my views on the LGBTQ plus DL community, the black community, any community.
I love how you're including DL, girl. That's
I just learned that today.
Yeah, so, right.
I not heard many you say it, and I was like, I'm where? I'm with you, and I support, so I'm going to add that in.
Well, I call it the LGBTQ DL community because you know what a DL man is, right?
Down low?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on, there's so many people are like, oh, I don't know. But yeah, you got it. So yeah, they be lying. They be having their girlfriends and, you know, their wives. Or they single, but, you know, go church every Sunday and they're straight and they're, you know, deliberate and all of that. But they out here getting piped down, getting their dips up by men's, like, Diplo, but still being straight, allegedly.
Right.
Yeah, so I purposely include them in the community because for me, you are part of the community. Like, whether you like it or not.
I love that.
LGBTQ DL.
Yeah. Thank you for teaching me that.
You're welcome, babe.
And can you see how I'm just down to, I support everyone. So if you're teaching me something new, I'm willing to learn and willing to support.
Okay. I did say we're going to say this, but like, we'll go over it real quick. So Lil Roach, the celebrity stylist, retired.
Yes,
early.
Saw this.
There was a whole. I've not seen everything, but the 2-3 clips I have seen, he went on a podcast and said the rumors are false. I've not like split up with Zendaya because apparently like they were like.
Yes,
this,
it looked like he didn't have a seat at the fashion.
Yeah,
show.
So he went to an LV fashion show and they pulled up and she was real quick to hop, skip and jump into the seat and smile and be like, but yes,
apparently she was late.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe someone took his seat, but I don't know. But he did a podcast to speak about it, you know, deny those rumours that they're not, like, you know, falling out or whatnot, but has said, like, we don't get respected enough, we don't get treated at the same as the talent. And at the end of the day, if we weren't there to make the talent look glamorous or look however they need to look, they wouldn't be essentially, for like, for the most part, what they're known for. Like people like Mariah Carey, like when you look at them, you know, she's glamorous. Without her stylist, she wouldn't be glamorous or as glamorous. So what is your take on it? Because I heard you say before, like you hired a makeup artist now, and like you're starting to use or have been using like these kind of peoples. Mm-hmm. What is your stance on where, you know, a stylist should be? Should they be front row? Should he have expected it? Or does it depend on like where you're at in your career?
It's a hard one because it depends a lot on the relationship that you have with the talent. Yeah. But then also, like, regardless of that relationship, it also depends on the type of stylist that you are. If you're a stylist that expects to be front row and centre, that should be known to your client.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to be like Batty and Bench, then that needs to be known to these fashion places that you are going to. Because some stylists, they want to do their work and they want to go, or they have other clients to do. Like hairstylists, for example, they're not loyal to one client. They may have one client that they work with a lot, but when Janet, Missy calls, they're also going to go. So it's like, what are the boundaries here? And making sure that the fashion house knows it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know the full story, but I've heard there's like a lot of negativity between the fashion house and Law himself. So that might be a separate issue and a separate problem, because he's saying like he styled what was her name? Anya. She was in. Anya Taylor-Joy. She's an actress.
Okay, American.
American actress, and I'm pretty sure that he styled her and Louis Vuitton reposted it.
Yeah.
And it did amazingly. She started then getting loads and loads more jobs, but they didn't credit him or tag him. So apparently there's a long-standing issue, but I may be wrong.
That's fucked up.
But yeah, it depends on relationship with the stylist, what your boundaries and your expectations are, because sometimes I do understand that the stylist may not be able to go anywhere, because at the end of the day, they're not the talent. As long as they're respected by the talent, as long as they're being paid by the talent or the fashion house or whatever their value is that they get and they receive from that, it's down to the individual.
Yeah.
It's not wholly Zendaya's job to make sure that that happens, but she should be championing for it if that's what Law wants.
100%. And he gives me, I should be sat at front row, because he's done a lot outside of just styling. Like he was actually one of the judges, that permanent judges on that show that I was talking about earlier, Legendary.
So then he's also like a celebrity in his own right.
Yeah, like he is. Yeah, he is.
So then it's like, are you going to the show as a celebrity as well, or are you going as the stylist? Because I think that's two very different things. You can be a celebrity stylist, but is it like Kim K and Mario? Because Mario can go out and do his own thing and be sat front row for being Mario. But if he's in the position of Kim K's makeup artist, I'm looking for Kim. I'm not looking for him to be next to her.
100%. Well, that is it for this week's segment of Miles Measures. I do want to play a little game with you, but I think let's get the belt first, and then we'll finish off with a little game, because I feel like finishing on something happy today, and I feel like this would be a funny little game. Right, so who does your belt go to this week, Jay? Or what does it? It doesn't need to be a person. It doesn't need to be heavy. It needs to just be just something that you just want to get off your chest.
Let me have a think. Do you know what? It's just been the little things this week. Like,
that sounded loaded.
Like, literally, like
the Frosties.
The Frosties. So this morning, I'm leaving. I'm trying to be on time for the podcast. And I'm thinking, let me just tidy up these Frosties before I go away. I lift it up. The whole bottom of the bag drops out, and the whole contents of the Frosties box, I'm talking about a large box,
that video
is on my floor. Like, the scream I let out was an internal scream. And I'm like, you are making me late because I was on time. Then it was like, I've got a parking ticket this week. And it's like, I tried my best to pay when I saw that my time was running out. I was on the tube and it was like, I just couldn't get it to go through. I kept getting to pay and it kept going processing and it kept stopping. And it was like, I needed to get off, but I couldn't because I needed to get to the car. So it's like, do I get off and pay and knowing that I've already missed my parking, or do I try and get to the car? Got to the car, still got a ticket. You know, I'm just like, please, who is testing me this week?
Already?
I have paid it. I couldn't even appeal it because I didn't have a leg to stand on. But I was trying. Like, I know that I tried really hard.
Oh, bless you, guys.
You know, it's those little things, like, they can get to you and they can really, like, shift your mood and shift your week. So it's like, I'm trying to recenter and not let that shift me. But when things are trying to play me,
yeah,
I just can't get out of these bad moods. And then it affects me and affects my work, and I don't want to be in that and take that energy with me. But then sometimes you just need to be mad and be mad for a bit. And people don't want to let you be, it's fine, you know, look on the bright side. No, there is no bright side. The bright side is cancelled. Let me just be mad for a bit.
That's me, man. When I get into a bad mood, it's so hard to get out. My belt this week goes out to people that you know, or that you don't know, like, on a level like that yet, but you've seen them at least 5, 6, 7 times out and about with the same...
Yeah.
Same circles. We've both got many, many, many mutuals. Mm-hmm. Many, 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 many men. Tune. And every time you see each other, you've engaged eye contact. Mm-hmm. But you never want to say hi. People that will continue to then see you out. And now it gets to the point where you're seeing I'm there. But now you're saying hello to the people next to me.
I hate that.
And I don't know what it is in them that just doesn't want them to allow themselves to be like, oh, hey, I've seen you around a few times. Like, I've been in that position with, like, some of my nearest and dearest now, where I've seen them out so many times. I'm like, if I don't say hello or we don't say hello, it's going to get to the point where I'm not going to just not fuck with you because I've seen you out so many times. And now it's given, you're making a choice to ignore me. Like, because you know we're around. Da, 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 da. So, like, I went up to, like, two of my really good friends and was like, oh, I've seen you out so many times. Let's just say hello because it's actually getting awkward now. So the people that are out there continuously doing this, like, they all get the belt. I don't know what it is in them. It's weird. And there's this one guy in particular that sprung to my mind. I saw him the other day at Shoreditch, not Shoreditch House, at White City House Gym. And, like, we've seen each other at bare in clubs, at, like, theatre events, and never wants to say hello. I think I've actually said hello to him once. And it's just been like, oh, yeah, you're good. But ever since then,
is it weird?
And prior then and after then, he never wants to, like, do that back.
Is he shy?
No.
I hate that. Sometimes I give you the benefit of the doubt because I think you may be painstakingly shy and you may be internalising and so awkward in your mind that actually saying hello feels really hard.
Because if you're shy, you're not coming up to my man next to me and saying, hey, how you doing? And then ignore me. That's not shy. That's brassness. That's the opposite to shy. You're brave. That's bravery. That's courageous.
That's chest.
Especially to me. And I know that, this is what I mean. Like, I know that you know me, or that you know people that know me that will tell you that I'm not the one. So for you to decide to now say hello to people around me and not say hello to me, you're not shy.
That's a disrespect.
You're a dickhead. That's a disrespect. And you want smoke. So yeah, people that do that, that continuously see you out and about and ignore you, then people get the belt for me because, I'm smiling, but they actually do get me in my feels. And if I wasn't on the treadmill when you decided to come up to my man and say hello, next time I'm pressing stop and I will say hi. Next time I'm
pressing stop.
This time, you know when you do like that with your legs and you have to stop? Yeah, I'm doing that. And I'm doing hello. And if you give me nice to meet you, I'm the one that will always say, nah, we have met. We have met.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, we have met. Yeah, those people get the belt.
All of them. And you people that, you know, we've been out and we've said hello, we've been around mutuals and we've been fine. And then the next time you see me, it's like we've never met before. You also get the belt. That's that same weird energy. Weirdos.
Weird. And other people that I know that like you... I can't like you now.
I don't get why. Because I don't have a reason apart from you being weird.
Yeah. It's weird and it's rude though, Jay. Like,
I think the man would have pushed me over the edge. Saying hi to my man would have pushed me over the edge.
Yeah, no. And then just nothing for me. And you can see me there. And there's no bad blood. This is it. There's no bad blood. But you're right. It's just weird. It's just wayward. And yeah, you motherfuckers get the belt.
Bye.
Right, so let's end with a little game. So I'm going to just fire off questions at you, Jay.
Okay. Ooh, all right.
And you can't be doing up no thinking. You've got to just... Drop, yeah? Okay. You've got to be fast with it. Okay. No. I digress. I'm going to ask you three questions because I wrote down loads, but the time has gone. Oh, not the get the belt sound in the background. Right, so I'm going to ask you two questions and then we're going to play the game and then we add this bitch.
Okay.
Right, so what is the biggest piece of advice you have for aspiring presenters out there?
Make what you want to see. Just do it.
Period.
You want to present the weather? You get a fake green screen app and you present the weather and you give it your best go. And don't be afraid and shame, because people are like, you think, oh, my friend's going to laugh. They're not your friend. Oh, people are going to laugh. Okay, that you don't owe them anything.
Yeah, that part. Well done for you for having an answer so quick. You know what you're doing, babes. I want it to slap. I want it to give. You know, what's his name? Steve Barrett? Is it Steve Barrett? That one.
Yeah.
Could he be asking questions, girl? I want to put some, like, serious music in the back.
Go for it. I love that.
Okay. Do you have any big influences or icons that you look up to?
Yeah, of course. The likes of Angelica Bell, mm-hmm. AJ Odudu, just strong, prominent black women that are smashing it in this industry and that give me representation on TV. Your Charlene White, your Judy Loves. Love you guys.
Okay, I said I was going to do two questions, but I've got like one more here. What is your biggest insecurity professionally? And how do you, if you do, how do you combat that and overcome it?
I think it's not feeling good enough. And I know that I'm good enough. And I know that I can do very, very well. But it's like a lot of the stuff that you need, the jobs that you need to be able to do, have to give you validation to feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm my biggest cheerleader. But then it's like, it's really hard to stay motivated, even if it's the one thing you want to do in the world, when you need to get validation from others, whether that's social media, whether it's a brand, a job, like if that's what the society sees. That's what you need to see. Say, oh my God, yeah, she's doing well. I saw her do this the other day.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's how this industry works. So it's knowing that I am good enough. People saying, oh my God, you're doing all the right things and being in the right places and having the right talent, but not getting the accolades. Like, I don't know what I'll do if I don't feel like I've not got there.
Mm.
I'd be like, what do you mean? It's not possible.
Okay, so it's time for our game. Let me get up these right. So like I was saying, you've got to answer as quick as you can.
Mm-hmm.
No thinking, no double guessing. First thing that comes to your head, 1, 2, 3, go. It's going to be over really soon.
Okay.
Yeah? You ready? Let's go. Right. Are you a Beyonce fan?
Yes.
Are you going to the Renaissance tour?
Yes.
Favorite song on the album?
Break My Soul.
Favorite song at the moment in general?
Church Girl.
Worst song at the moment? Any song.
Any song. Any really, really old Cardi B.
Favourite club in London?
I don't really club in London. I don't
favourite club. What's your favourite club?
Oh, I'm not really a clubber.
Oh my God, okay, favourite drink?
Paul San Martini.
Celebrity crush?
Michael B. Jordan.
Most annoying celebrity?
Azealia Banks.
Your favourite thing to do?
Sleep.
Worst thing to do?
Exercise.
What's your star sign?
Taurus.
Best trait?
Personality.
Your worst trait?
Personality.
Favourite dance move?
I'd love a doggy.
Favourite sex position?
Oh, missionary.
Which worst sex position?
Anything like reverse awkward leg positions.
A food that you hate?
Mushrooms.
African food or Caribbean food?
Caribbean food.
Ginger beer or super malt?
Ginger beer.
Rice with your roast?
Yes.
Favourite dance move?
Bucking.
Your favourite part of your body?
Teeth.
Favourite part of your man's body?
Muscles.
Thank you so much for coming on Get The Belt Podcast. You did it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I hope you have fun. It was a pleasure having you on.
I did.
What is your next thing that we can look out for? Have you got any more episodes of your show coming? Like, what are we staying tuned for?
I'm filming a new series, which is going to be filmed this Sunday. So that'll be coming out April. And then look out for me on Channel 4 and E4. You'll hear my voice of God, just talking
to you. Period. Thank you so much for coming on the show, my love. Thank you guys as well for listening and tuning in. I'll put all of Jay's socials and all of the things, links to her content, in the description to this episode. And yeah, stay tuned. I've been Miles Hart. You've been listening to the podcast that is known as Home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts. You have been listening to Get the Belt.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.